From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Presidential candidate Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has been in a tussle with corporate media outlets like the Washington Post over what he says is biased coverage of his campaign. Indeed, groups like the media watchdog FAIR have been able to definitively show that bias. More recently, media coverage of the Democratic Party debate has shown that Sanders' claims on Medicare for All, especially the cost of the proposal, are being very poorly reported on. The same holds true for other progressive proposals like the Green New Deal. Writing about these issues is my guest, Jeff Cohen, a media critic, writer, and retired journalism professor at Ithaca College. He has founded the media watchdog group FAIR. He's also co-founder of RootsAction.org. Welcome to the program, Jeff.
Great to be with you as always.
So you recently wrote a piece entitled What George Carlin Taught Us About Media Propaganda by Omission on Bernie Sanders, Medicare for All, and the Green New Deal. Why did you invoke George Carlin?
Well, you know, George Carlin was a serious critic of corporate media and the corporate greed. But there was an innocuous joke that inspired me. And the joke is, he's playing a sportscaster, and Carlin says that we have a partial score in from the West Coast, Los Angeles 6, and he gives no other score. That's the joke. So it inspired me because at the Thursday last week debate, the Democratic debate, Joe Biden attacks Sanders. Oh, your health care is going to cost, your health care reform is going to cost $30 trillion. And Bernie responded by saying, yes, and if we stick with the status quo, it's going to cost trillions of dollars more than that. So as you pointed out, I checked all the media coverage in the wake of the Thursday debate. And like George Carlin and that joke about reporting only one of the two scores, partial score in from the West Coast, Los Angeles 6, the mainstream media kept repeating the $30, $32 trillion over 10 years that Medicare for All would cost, but they're not mentioning the other score. And the other score is, if you stick with the status quo and you keep having insurance provided by for-profit corporations, and they keep bogging us down in paperwork and bureaucracy, the sellers of the insurance get sales commissions, the CEOs of the healthcare companies, they're averaging like, what is it, $18 million a year in profits. The top eight insurance companies in one quarter last year raked in $8 billion. If you eliminate all that, and you look at that second score, you know, and you compare the two, if we eliminate all that, yeah, it might cost $32 trillion over 10 years. If you continue with the status quo, the scorecard, the price tag is higher. Some have estimated at $48 trillion.
So when Sanders said $50 trillion, he was basically rounding up, but just a tiny bit. And those numbers come from the government, right? I mean, you cited in your piece the National Health Expenditure Fact Sheet from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Yeah, it's a federal government study. There's nothing more accurate at totaling up what is the expenditures on healthcare today. And what will there be? What will they be 8 or 10 years hence? So, I mean, seriously, there isn't any economist not bought and paid for by the Koch brothers. And actually, there was an economist bought and paid for by the Koch brothers. And even they pointed out in one of their models that, yes, Medicare for All will be cheaper for society than keeping the status quo with private health insurance. So it's that simple. And, you know, the other media myths after the Thursday Democratic debate, CBS and others said that Warren and Sanders were putting forward government-run healthcare plans. Well, no. In England, they have government-paid doctors and government-owned hospitals. But in Canada and in Medicare for All that Bernie's proposing, the hospitals and doctors remain private. The only thing that's socialized is the insurance. And as Bernie's tried to point out, when one mainstream reporter after another at these debates says, you want to deprive people of their private insurance, the answer that these corporate media journalists don't seem to want to hear is, yes, Medicare for All will be cheaper for middle class, working class, and poor people, and it will cover more. I don't know anyone who's going to want to cling to a private plan that costs them more out of pocket and delivers them less coverage than Bernie's Medicare for All. Again, this stuff is not rocket science. I pointed out in my column that the job of the media, and this is what George Carlin was so brilliant about, the job of the media is often confusion, not clarity. Their biggest sponsors are pharmaceutical firms, health insurance companies, fossil fuel companies. And if that's who's paying the piper, it's almost their job to confuse issues which could be clarified and which independent journalists like you, Pacifica, Democracy Now!, Common Dreams, Truth Dig, those journalists are sorting out. What are the two different price tags? A progressive policy or sticking with the costly status quo?
Right. There was a really interesting story that Sanders had been tweeting about of a veteran who brought his, you know, $100-something thousand bill to a Sanders rally in Nevada to show the presidential candidate what he was going through, and who was so distraught at being slapped with this bill that he talked about killing himself. And Sanders said, you know, people ask me all the time why I'm so angry about the healthcare system. I want to know why everyone else isn't just as angry. And, you know, that story sort of came and went, and there was one good article about it, I believe, in the Washington Post. And then it just kind of disappeared away. And you didn't certainly hear anything from Republicans who claim to say that they are for veterans. But going back to the debate coverage, it was interesting. There was so much made of Julian Castro taking on Joe Biden for Biden's, you know, making a claim, Biden claimed that his healthcare plan people would have to buy in. And then he denied that he said that. And Julian Castro, you know, said, well, did you forget what you just said 2 minutes earlier? But the real coverage of healthcare as an issue that Americans are desperately interested in, we didn't get much critical coverage. Isn't it true that healthcare is one of the leading issues when voters are surveyed for this upcoming election?
That's so crucial for you to say, because we know the 2018 congressional elections, that was the biggest issue. It remains the biggest issue, and for voters. And that, by the way, Russiagate didn't even register as one of the issues. But what's important is that the mainstream media, which is so funded by healthcare industry, and Joe Biden, of the Democratic candidates for president, is getting the most money from healthcare corporations. But the mainstream media keeps trying to muddy this issue of insurance. No one cares whether Aetna provides the insurance or Medicare provides the insurance. What you care about is what's covered. Do you have complete choice? And Medicare for All gives you more coverage, less cost, more choice. But the mainstream media, especially at these debates and the questioners at these debates, I remember Jake Tapper at CNN, you want to deprive 130 million people of the private insurance that they like? And, you know, the obvious answer is, well, the public insurance will cover more and cost less. So, you know, even a Fox News propagandized ideologue might, you know, is going to say, yeah, I want more coverage at less cost. But in mainstream media, it's like you're ripping the insurance away from union workers. The reality is, as you said, it's the Republicans that were trying to rip away health coverage, Medicare for All provides more coverage, less cost to more people.
And of course, Biden met privately with a group of health executives or executives in the healthcare field, during which he said that he, you know, thought pharmaceutical companies were quite a quite good. Great, there are great drug companies out there, except for a couple of opioid outfits. And this was, you know, essentially him telling that industry that he would go easy on them. This is an industry that even Trump has talked about taking on. Just talked about mostly. Let's move on to the issue of the Green New Deal, which is that other issue that anytime it's brought up in the mainstream media, even the supposedly liberal-leaning media, we're told constantly that the corporate media are lean liberal, they echo Republican talking points about the cost of the Green New Deal. And I suppose just like Medicare for All, don't talk about what climate catastrophe is costing us, right?
It's exactly the same thing. It's the George Carlin joke all over, a partial score, Los Angeles 6. If you're going to talk about the cost of the Green New Deal, which, by the way, besides addressing climate change, provides millions of good paying jobs, and it will cost over years and years, trillions of dollars. There's no doubt about it. But what you never hear, and remember, fossil fuel companies like pharmaceutical companies are among the biggest sponsors of the nightly news. What you never hear, what is the other cost? What's the other score? What's the other price tag? And as Bill McKibben talks about, the Green New Deal would be just pennies on the dollar compared to the status quo. So whenever I hear mainstream media ridiculing progressive policy ideas, and they give you the cost of that progressive policy idea, or at least the alleged cost, and they don't give you the cost of the status quo, you are being propagandized to. It's called propaganda by omission. And the cost of the status quo in climate change, we're seeing it everywhere. It's rising rivers, rising seas, worse hurricanes, worse wildfires, more pollution, more hospitalization, more premature deaths, more migration around the world, more civil wars. Everyone knows if we continue with this status quo, how costly it's going to be. But it's the job of the corporate mainstream media to just hang a big price tag on the cost of reform and then not comparing it to the cost of the corporate friendly status quo that will get you, me, and everyone else killed one day.
And it's costing us so much now, right? I mean, we really ought to be seeing the devastation of Hurricane Dorian in the Bahamas, if we look at it on a global scale, not just cost to the US. We ought to be seeing that as the cost of climate catastrophe. Those people fleeing the Bahamas because their livelihoods have been destroyed as climate refugees. And the same is true for people here in the United States who are displaced because of climate-related natural disasters, and all of the money spent on fighting wildfires, out of control wildfires, and the impacts of heat. All of that is already costing us, but we're not seeing the accounting on that. I mean, it's remarkable. And you and I are talking just a few days before the massive global climate strike, which will remain to be seen how the media will cover that.
Well, as you say, when they talk about the Green New Deal, they're modeling it 10 years in the future. It will be costly, but it will provide jobs and it will address the problem. The cost of the status quo is what you're describing. It's already costly. And if we do not deal with stopping it from getting to two degrees higher Celsius, or even 1.5 or one, the cost will be exponentially higher. So again, it's the job of corporate mainstream media, funded by fossil fuel industries, funded by other industries, to not clarify this. I think you hit on something that what's fascinating about today is that you have a bunch of Democrats, whether you talk about the congressional insurgents like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Rashida Tlaib, or you talk about presidential candidates like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, who are raising millions and millions of dollars in small donations. They don't need the fossil fuel industry. They don't want the fossil fuel industry. They don't want the pharmaceutical industry. And then you have Joe Biden going around having these high dollar fundraisers. And he's at these debates, he's not asked about it. You know, the obvious question for a journalist, and even though these are Democratic debates, allegedly on liberal TV channels, they never include a progressive journalist. When CNN hosted four Republican debates in 2015-16, they always added a right-wing journalist or two to their panel. That doesn't happen today with the Democratic debates. But an obvious question, if there was a journalist worth his or her salt, would be, Mr. Biden, you are taking money from fossil fuel. You are going to fundraisers at the homes of Comcast executives. You're going to fundraisers with a pharmaceutical industry. That's the obvious question to ask, especially at a time when Democratic voters and activists and even elected officials are saying, no, no more to this funding from corporate elites. That's not what we want anymore. It's the reason our society can't solve these pressing problems of social inequality, climate change, healthcare.
Back to the specifically the Green New Deal, it's not just Republicans like Mitch McConnell who are pointing out the cost of the Green New Deal without pointing out the cost of climate catastrophe. It's sadly a lot of Democrats too, right, who don't want to endorse the Green New Deal because they're worried about losing their corporate fossil fuel funders.
Exactly the case. I mean, take Joe Biden. As soon as he got into the race, Reuters had this crucial news article, an objective news article, where they quoted Biden's advisors on climate, saying that they are looking for a middle ground. And then it turns out that the advisors that Biden had were connected to the fracking industry, the gas industry. So they're in a bind because, as you say, the Republicans deny the science and the corporate Democrats deny the solutions. They deny that we really need radical, transformative reforms to grapple with climate change. So you've got science deniers and policy deniers in the corporate Democrat. And all of the corporate Democrats, oh, the science, and they'll attack Trump for not acknowledging the science. But the corporate Democrats, including Joe Biden, won't acknowledge the policy reforms that will be needed. So in a sense, they're all deniers and delayers.
Well, if these Democrats don't take action, they may face challengers like Marie Newman, who in Illinois is running against a conservative Democrat named Dan Lipinski. She just received the endorsement of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC. I think this is the first endorsement she's made since she won her seat to Congress. And she was someone who toppled a very, very high level Democratic incumbent. Is this promising to you that electoral politics can be one avenue of pressuring these corporate Democrats?
Yeah, I feel 20 years younger because of this new wave of young women of color who got into Congress in 2018. It's exciting. Roots Action put out a report, badblues.org, which was about 15 corporate Democrats who should be primaried by progressives. You named one, Marie Newman, in the Chicago area, is primarying Lipinski, one of the worst Democrats. In South Texas, Jessica Cisneros, a human rights lawyer specializing in immigrants' rights, she's challenging an oil and gas Koch brother-funded Democrat who's a Democrat in name only, named Henry Cuellar. So there's exciting things happening there. Obviously, electoral politics is not what we should invest 100% of our activist energy in. But for the first time in my life, the last few years, beginning with the Bernie campaign of 2015, extending to these victories where progressive women knocked off 10-term Congress members in 2018, continuing to 2020, where you have progressive challengers going after more corporate Democrats who are in the House, obstructing progress on so many of these issues that activists and Democratic voters care about. It's really an exciting development. And, you know, there was a setback. I don't know if you want to talk about the Working Families Party.
I do. I was actually just about, you read my mind. I was just about to pivot to that. Let's talk about how it was that the Working Families Party, very important progressive party, has just decided to endorse Senator Elizabeth Warren instead of Senator Bernie Sanders, the candidate they endorsed 4 years ago. Can you explain what happened?
Yes. I'm very supportive of the Working Families Party. I think they made a mistake. I was one of the people that voted at the base. They had supporters and members who voted in a straw poll. And that was half of the decision making. The other half is the National Committee of the Working Families Party, which is dominated by leaders of organizations, especially labor unions. And in 2015, the Working Families Party had a straw vote, and 85% of the people that voted, or 88%, voted for Bernie, and only like 11% voted for Hillary. That was 4 years ago. So this time, they've given the endorsement to Warren, and there was such blowback. And we don't know, they won't release the figures, but there was so much blowback that I'm heartened that the Working Families Party immediately was putting out statements. Look, we're thrilled that Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, two progressives, are in the race, putting forward progressive policies and trying to block, a Democrat of the middle of the road corporate persuasion named Joe Biden. So they immediately had to do sort of damage control. I'm very disappointed as a supporter of Working Families Party. The right thing to do probably would have been to endorse both. Instead, I think they let the committee, the people at the top of the Working Families Party who are very close to Warren, skew the vote. And I think they're going to get a lot of blowback. It's unfortunate. I mean, look, I'll give you my bias. You know my bias, Sonali. I know Bernie. I love Bernie. I met Bernie in the early 90s when he first went to Congress, and he said, hey, he called me at FAIR. I was the executive director of the Media Watch Group FAIR. What can we do about corporate media concentration, corporate bias? So, you know, it's a special place. He's been so honest and so principled for all these decades. And then there's this other candidate, Warren, who's putting forward really progressive policies that are almost as good as Bernie's on issue after issue. On some, they're virtually identical. If Bernie was not in the race, there'd be progressives like me and others saying, wow, Elizabeth Warren is running this amazing campaign. Let's unify behind her if we're electoral activists. But the reality is, and everyone knows it, Bernie knows it, Elizabeth Warren knows it, that the reason Warren is doing well, besides her good progressive policies, is because Bernie is the heat magnet. Bernie is getting savaged in the mainstream media for his policies, and Warren's are somewhat similar in many, many areas. Bernie's taking the corporate media heat. Biden has blocked all other young corporate Democrat aspirants who would like to be the presidential nominee. And he's ineffective. He's out of touch. He's out of touch with the Democratic Party new wave, which says, hey, we don't need corporate money anymore. So in between Bernie on this side, getting savaged by the mainstream media, and Biden on the other side, there has opened up this huge lane for Warren.
No.
And trust me, Warren knows that she needs Bernie to be the heat magnet. And it's sort of fascinating if Warren does, I'm for Bernie, but if Warren does become the nominee and become the president, I'll be pretty happy. And she will know as well as everyone that the Bernie Sanders campaign of 2015-16 and of today is part of the reason she's been able to find that lane. And I'm sure Bernie will be one of her biggest supporters, most important supporters, if she pushes her progressive domestic agenda after becoming president. I have qualms with Warren's foreign policy. It hasn't been very strong. Bernie's criticism of foreign policy is a little stronger. I've been a critic of Bernie on foreign policy, but that's a big difference. I think foreign policy is an area I'm just not clear on Warren, but her domestic agenda is very close to Bernie.
Well, you and I started talking about healthcare, and in the last couple of days, both in Vox.com and in the Washington Post, people have been pointing out the fact that Warren has not actually put forward a plan on healthcare. It's a glaring omission. Paul Waldman writes, an opinion writer, saying it's an almost bizarre omission that barely anyone has seemed to notice, given it's the domestic issue that gets more discussion than any other. It's not that she doesn't talk about healthcare, or that she hasn't been clear about what she believes, but she's basically avoided all of the criticism around Medicare for All by not talking about it. And, you know, that makes me suspicious.
Yeah, you're raising an interesting point. I mean, what she's done on that one issue instead of a more detailed plan is I'm with Bernie. Now, I know a lot of Bernie diehard supporters were saying months ago, watch her veer off from Bernie's Medicare for All. Now, Kamala Harris did that. Others have done it. But Elizabeth Warren has not. She keeps saying up till this point, I'm with Bernie. I support Medicare for All. I don't think we need private insurance. Time will tell. But again, it's a fascinating dynamic.
Right.
And Elizabeth Warren has really been aided by the fact that so much of the savaging of extremist ideas has focused on Bernie, who the mainstream media has detested for years, many in the mainstream media, and that's allowing Warren a little bit of a clear path.
Right.
So it's a fascinating dynamic to watch.
Well, Jeff, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to your article from our website that you published about these about the issues regarding Medicare for All and the Green New Deal. Thanks so much, Jeff.
Thank you.
Jeff Cohen is a media critic, writer, and retired journalism professor at Ithaca College. He founded the media watchdog group FAIR, as well as was a co-founder of rootsaction.org. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.